Are you tired of putting yourself last? Of taking care of everybody else's needs and powering through to meet the next set of impossible standards? In our fast-paced society, we lose touch with our intrinsic worth, with the ability to value ourselves for who we are right now. Instead of living life exhausted, frustrated, and disconnected from your authentic self, maybe it's time to put yourself back in the life you've worked so hard to create. Join radio host and life choreographer Laura Cheadle and learn how to build your dreams and live your sparkle using the 5 steps of Flaunt. Find your fetish, laugh out loud, accept unconditionally, navigate the negative, and trust in your truth.
Hello and welcome to Flaunt, build your dreams and live your sparkle. I'm Laura Cheadle and today's show is going to be very impactful. Let me say that again. You want to really focus on today's show. It's going to be very impactful. Let me tell you why. Our guest is a phenomenal woman. Her name is Rusty McDonald, and she is an author of several different books. She is a speaker. She's an advocate. She has got an incredible, harrowing story of poverty, abuse, rape. Definitely some trigger warnings here. But what I love about her story and what I'm really excited to get into is the way that she overcame. Not only did she overcome and just be like, oh yeah, I made it through and I suffer every single day of my life and I'm just living, but she's thriving. She has lived a life that is more full than some people who have never been through anything. She definitely personifies that kind of a person who makes way more than lemonade from the lemons that she has been giving. So without further ado, I would like to bring on Rusty McDonald and have her share her story, and then we'll move into the 5 steps of Flaunt, and we'll walk her through Flaunt and show you how no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what used to go on in your life, you can still thrive. So welcome to the show, Rusty.
Thank you. And when I become president of the United States, your first official job with me is you're going to be my PR agent. Awesome. Just so that you now have a future in the White House. Oh, that was an incredible introduction. I'm like, who's this chick? I want to meet her. She's fabulous.
Well, good. And I accept your offer and we'll get to the White House soon, I promise.
We will. Trust me. I'm on my way, girl. Boop, boop.
Yes, I love
it. So I'm all about the sachet of life. I'm all about glittering. I'm all about sparkling. I'm all about unicorns and rainbows and the finer magic that exists in this world that we've kind of turned into this fantasy versus a reality. Yes. And through trials and tribulations, and you know, you listed some of the things that I've received as gifts, so to speak. There is beauty in that. And people tilt their head like a puppy going, what? Yes. And it doesn't feel beautiful. It doesn't feel great. It doesn't feel worthy or deserving. And yes, you have your pity party and yes, you cry and yes, you throw things and yes, you know, all of that good stuff. But when you get good with yourself and you get good with that situation, girl, I'm strong. Don't even play me anymore. You know, and my recent blog post was, I'm the most dangerous person in the world.
Yes.
How powerful is that?
Yes. Absolutely powerful. Absolutely powerful. Because you're right. When we're tested and we come out the other side, even though it can be miserable in the middle of being tested, we came out the other side. And that's hugely powerful.
Well, and I think it's extraordinary because when you realize that you have gone through so many storms and you're like rolling up your sleeves, bring it. Mm-hmm. That's what makes other people uncomfortable that are around you. And I like making people feel uncomfortable, not in a weird, mean way, but in a way in which they challenge themselves to rise above their circumstance. Does it make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because one of my favorite phrases is what we resist persists. Mm-hmm. And when we are constantly afraid of being hurt, afraid of being whatever it is, we're just resisting and we're living in that defensive posture. And I like how you said, when you roll up your sleeves and you're like, yeah, bring it on. That's really when we move into life and we know we're living fully. And you're right. It is a gift. That's where the gifts come from. Now, I know you grew up in with some poverty.
Major poverty.
Yeah. And that's kind of a hot button topic for a lot of people too. You know, people say, no handouts and pull people up from their bootstraps. And then other people are saying, you know, people can't do it and that anymore. And you can't do, there's so much rhetoric around poverty. And no matter which side you sit on, unless you've been in poverty, I don't really think people understand what it's like. My husband as well grew up in poverty, and the idea of what living in poverty is like versus the reality is so different.
Well, one of the things that I have really gotten good with, not only with my own introspection, but also a compassion for other people's ignorance. And my favorite thing to say, no matter what radio show, what TV show, wherever I am at, my favorite motto is, you don't know what you don't know until you know.
Ooh, I like that.
Right? And the power in that is being open enough to receive the information. And, you know, when you and I were growing up, it was walking in somebody else's shoes. Mm-hmm. But somehow, somewhere, that understanding or compassion or a theology has just kind of gotten, you know, swept under the carpet. Nobody cares about other people's shoes. And so I've changed it enough where people now hear it. And, you know, it's really awesome to have an opinion, and it's so great to be judgmental, and it's so great to be on a soapbox and have this ideology that's right, because there is right and there is wrong.
Right.
And that's cool. And that's who you are. And, you know, you do you boo-boo. But the rest of the world has to go, am I paying my water bill? Am I paying my power bill? Mm-hmm. Which one do I pay this week? Because I can't pay both. Am I paying my water bill, my power bill, or buying diapers? Mm-hmm. This is reality for 69% of the U.S. And it's just exponentially risen over the last 3 years. It's boom, like mind blowing that we are in this beautiful position as a species. We have access to every bit of truthful, factual information with our telephone. Mm-hmm. Right? We can Google anything. We can Google a spot on our left toe from Aunt Jemima's cousin's sister's brother's genetic loom, whatever.
Right.
I mean, we can get that detailed. We can literally swallow a little tiny pill about that big to do our whole entire colonoscopy so that we don't feel invaded or it's not intrusive anymore, right? Mm-hmm. We can find cancer by mailing in our poop.
Right. it's unbelievable what we can do.
Right. Like we're just in this powerful, amazing space, and yet we can't think of the people that are struggling to get out of homelessness. Mm-hmm. And it's mind-boggling. 33% of the homeless individuals in America are women. Yeah. 39% are families. So what does family mean to you? One child, two child, a child, a dog, a husband, a boyfriend, you know, whatever that means, it's in cooperation with a child or children. Mm-hmm. 39%. That's huge.
That is huge.
And rents have tripled. The banks made $34 billion in, guess what? Overdraft fees.
Wow.
Why? $34 billion.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. We could completely end homelessness with that amount of money.
Yeah.
So it's being open to having the question, open to having the understanding, open to having the education and the facts. Not the hyperbole, not the divisive stuff, not the racist stuff, because if anybody really wanted to know the truth, the 33% of the women that are on the streets here in America, 27% are white. So it's not...
Right.
That. And I think when you sit on a throne with all of this knowledge and understanding and you don't share it, you're not doing any justice to your community. One.
Absolutely.
And then if you make assumptions and perceive rather than engage your mind with feeding it with education and facts, you're doing a disservice to this society. So my stance and my goal is to really sit as an educator, not a divisive person, not a political person, but a human being who's gone through this and what I've observed. And the majority of the people that are on the streets, they're working people that are not on drugs. They're not going to rape you. Right. They're not, you know, they're just people who fell on hard times. And how do we as a society or community combat that when we've, you know, hit so many walls? And that's why I do what I do.
I love that. I love that. Would you be willing to share with the listeners a little bit of your personal story of poverty and the things that you have overcome?
Briefly, I can tell you that when I fell back into poverty was right after my divorce. My ex-husband ran me into the courts and broke me down that way, in the sense where every single dime that I had was going to court fees and to, you know, filing fees and stupid fees. And he did it with intention to hurt me.
Yes.
And 10 years later, he's still doing it. Mm-hmm. 10 years later. I don't know if you caught that part.
Yes.
So we ended up losing the house. We ended up homeless. My car was repossessed in front of my child, which that's what really sent me with this. Why are banks so powerful in America? So that's a different bucket that I work in, is trying to unravel that power that's way too much. We should have more power. We're the citizens. But nonetheless, that's a different bucket. I actually filed for services, which I had never done before. So I didn't know what I was doing. And our intention was to move here because it's 28% less expensive than it is in New England to live. And here I am on my own for the first time in years.
Right.
And with a child, and I need to do what's right for my child. And the social worker looked at me and said that I deserved nothing for trying to take my daughter away from her father, and denied me food stamps, cash assistance, emergency assistance for my bills. So we ended up homeless.
Wow.
And that is the beginning of the fight, you know. Mm-hmm. I cried. I had that ugly cry.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Ugly cry. And I could not imagine anyone in a position that is supposed to help be such a, lots of words that I'm sure I'm probably not allowed to use on your radio show, but in a lot of words.
All of that.
And so I'm struggling along trying to get assistance, and there's this place called the welfare office or something that you can go and get rent assistance. So I'm trying to save our housing. And part of the application is you have to bring in your resume. And I have an excellent resume. But that doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't.
And so I bring in my resume. She reads it and she literally throws it back at me. And she's like, get a job. Why would I help you? And I just did the puppy with the tilted head going, what? I've applied to literally 700 positions at this time.
Right.
Unbeknownst to me, my ex-husband, who works at the newspaper doing sales ads, is talking all kinds of stuff about me to all of these businesses.
Right.
The judge isn't allowing me to move, you know, 20 miles down the road so that at least I have some separation so that I can get back on my feet. So here I am in this whirlwind of stuff with no way to get out of it. So that was really the beginning of the book writing and the radio show and all of the other things that I do, because I want to understand how we can pay individuals taxpayer dollars to service individuals in need and treat them so poorly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Poof, mind blowing.
Right. And you're right. Education is a huge piece of it. And I like, you know, how you talked about just the knowledge, the statistics, the experience, put that all together. And that does make you a powerful advocate because so many things are just theoretical. Well, in theory, if you had too many medical bills and couldn't pay them, in theory, this is what you would do.
Right, right, right.
In reality, it's not the case. And I'm just going to share, I have not been in poverty, which I'm immensely grateful for. However, I had one experience in law school. I went to a private law school and I had a loan that did not come through. So I put all of my money into that tuition payment because it was the only thing. And then I found myself in that same place where I was like, oh, I can't pay rent now and I can't buy food because I used all of my money for tuition. And of course I had done some things wrong. I wasn't thinking. But it was that moment of kind of panic, same thing. And I thought, what do I do? And a friend suggested, oh, you can apply for food stamps. That'll at least take some of the pressure off because you're a full-time student. You are a full-time law student. You're going to be making, presumably, a lot of money and paying a lot of taxes in the future. And she's like, go get your food stamps. This will be great. It's going to get you through these 6 months until your next loan comes through.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. I was denied because I was in school. And it was like, okay.
So what are you here for? I don't understand.
Yeah. And again, I don't pretend to know the rules or the experiences or things like that, but it's like, wow, that could have really helped me. And I'm still becoming a productive citizen. I've more than paid that back.
Well, and I wrote that in my, the Most Dangerous Person blog that I did last week on Medium. It was, I have spent the majority, I'm turning 44 in like next week. I'm so excited. I know. Thank you. And so I'm very excited about this part of my life. And I've spent the majority of my life not getting speeding tickets, being on the right side of the fence, always being polite, not swearing,
yes.
All of these things that in your head, you're told that you're supposed to do as a member of society to be productive.
Right.
And if you need something, say a lawyer, mm-hmm. or a judge or a restraining order, I don't know, just something.
Right.
You would get that with ease because you've been on this
right.
side of the fence.
Yeah, you're a good person.
It's hogwash. Go have fun.
Yes.
It's hogwash. I'm telling you, I'll be 44 on the 21st and I will tell you no, it's hogwash.
Yes.
And not to say that you should go out and shoot people and be hedonistic all the time and that kind of thing. That's not what I'm implying by any stretch of the imagination. What I'm implying is that it's okay to make mistakes and it's okay to, let loose a little bit.
Right.
And those things don't happen. You, in the legal world, at least my perspective, you hire the dirtiest, nastiest lawyer who can sell you the biggest lie.
Right.
And that's what judges judge. They don't judge the truth. They don't judge this balance of the scales. They judge who lies the best. And mm-hmm. it's circus tricks and parlor tricks. Mm-hmm. So the legal system's a joke, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. 10 years into this, and I've been jailed for 4 days because of parlor tricks and bullshit. Sorry. BS.
We'll cut that out.
Thank you. Ex-husband was able to finesse with a very unethical lawyer. And so the perspective and reality is it's really better to be armed with education and knowledge. And there are not a lot of individuals who are brave enough, strong enough, and fearless enough to stand up and say, hey, it's a hoax. This is what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because people feel shame and guilt because of their situation. And yeah, I felt like a crappy mom that I failed. But I'm publishing my 13th book. I have an international radio talk show. I'm a goddess, period.
Right.
I've survived it and I've had cancer 4 times and I've been shot. And I live dirt poor, literally.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so stubborn and so determined to try to pave a way for other people not to go through as much as I have that I want to be a rainmaker. I want to shake it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely. So you've published a lot of books. You speak, you advocate. Talk a little bit more about some of the advocacy work that you do you know, education advocacy with kids, with families, with that whole thing, because we're talking about child protection a little bit before the show, and wow, that's a whole other bucket.
That is, I know. I got a lot of buckets, girl. Leaky roof.
Yeah.
So with the advocacy, there's two tiers to what I do. Specifically, I do a lot with domestic violence. I was one of the most excited people in the world to be invited to be a keynote speaker for 14 Million Voices, which will be happening on February 14th.
Oh, wow.
Every year, women like myself from all over the world get up and share our story on an international platform.
Oh, I love that.
I still get goosebumps. Yeah. So I did that a few years ago. That was a huge honor. And my other half of my world is I really talk about the issues we have with food allergies in America, especially because we really have some, yes. We just don't listen.
Right.
Americans just don't listen.
Right. Right.
So I do a lot of touring around the country in regards to celiac disease and advocacy for children who have food allergies because, you know, somebody's got to speak up for these little people. And I felt very sick. I almost died with mine. And I think a lot of my health problems growing up, I would not have had if they would have diagnosed me at a proper age. But oh, it is what it is. Huh?
Yeah, that makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it is what it is. And the universe just thinks I'm strong enough to be able to go through what I've gone through, and I'm loud enough to have a strong enough voice to make some serious waves.
Exactly.
And so it feels good because when you see the little people at these conferences having the ability to eat whatever, it's like Disney.
That's huge.
It's huge. They literally have tears in their eyes and they're like timidly going for the cupcake, and the mom's like, yeah, go ahead, honey, this is the one place you can eat whatever you want.
Exactly.
And it's very powerful. And my girlfriend who runs a lot of these events, her husband just died, so I don't know if yeah, it was spontaneous. I don't know if she's going to be doing any more this year, but it's something that we need to do a lot more of. Especially for these kids, because they're going through enough, man. This
right.
This world is so different than when we were growing up. We had it easy.
Right. Okay, so for people to see you now, and you've written books, and you've got this radio show, and you're speaking on stages, and you know you're doing great. You're raising your, you know, you're being a mom. You're doing all of this stuff. I think for people to see you now, they probably wouldn't understand how hard it was to get over and to get through. And yes, you can say you're strong, and yes, you can say you're powerful, and you are, but are there any tips that you can share with the listeners about, you know, here's something that you can do when you're going through that. Here's a trick or a way to hang on that really helped me.
I think that it's okay to cry. I think it's okay to have your emotions. I think it's okay to be really angry. I think it's okay to sit in the middle of the woods and scream at the top of your lungs. I think that is number one absolute homework priority. You've got to get whatever that ache is on the inside, you have to release it. And it's okay. You're good. You're not crazy. You're not emotional. You're not hormonal. All of the trigger words that we get accused of when we have a little mini meltdown.
Right.
And during those times, it's appropriate to have mini meltdowns. But the key word is mini, M-I-N-I, small, yeah. Tiny. You know, if we were to think about how powerful we are as women, we can give life and take it.
Mm-hmm.
We can cook and shoot. We can, you know, like
right.
We are so diversified. And even though we've been raised in a society where we've been told to taper our magic, we're full board magic. And yeah, you stub your toe, it hurts. You get divorced, it hurts. You know, whatever those issues are, and it's okay to have that, but have your mini meltdowns, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Second thing I believe very strongly is to take time for yourself. Don't rush into relationships, any kind of relationship. You have to really heal those wounds in order to be an effective partner on any level, friendship, lover, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of women are afraid that they can't do it on their own. And that's a huge fear. I mean, for thousands of years, think about it. We were not even allowed to sign for our own checking account until 1935.
Right.
That's like yesterday.
Right.
Dude, you know? Right. Right. What? We weren't allowed to vote until when?
Right.
And so genetically, DNA-wise, historically, and through weeding out these concepts generationally, we are a little intimidated to feel like we can do this on our own. Mm-hmm. So I really like shows like yours and what we do collaboratively as a group to try to raise that empowerment. Because it's, nobody said it's going to be easy, but you can do it. You can give birth without an epidural. You can do it.
I did it.
So did I. Yeah. With a few words.
But that's okay.
It's like, why does that feel like a softball?
Right. Exactly.
That's not what it said in the book.
Right.
So we're a lot stronger than we give ourselves credit for. And what's really cool is once you get good with whatever that storm is and you get closer to the other side, sit back and write down what you've gone through.
Oh, I like that idea.
Mm-hmm. And what I do is I always get a little index card. Here, this is how I write my books too. But I have a little index card and I write down, you know, these wonderful things that I've gone through. And then on the other side, I'll write down what I'd like to accomplish with this. Whether it's very tiny, you know, I'm homeless right now. I haven't had a shower in 5 days, but I donated my leftover sandwich to another homeless person because they were hungrier than I was. And what I'd like to do is find a place to take a shower. I mean, it can be that simple.
Yeah.
And every now and then just pull it out of your purse because you're going to have days where you feel like I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And I think just a little card can mean the world to you. Mine was so damaged and like broken and crunchy.
And that
I wanted to laminate it, but it wouldn't have survived. So it's here, you know.
Right. Oh, that's a great idea. I really like that. Now, something else that you talked about, and this is just like the perfect segue to go into the 5 steps of flaunt. The first step of flaunt is F, find your fetish. And that is finding something that just brings you joy, finding something that makes you unquenchably happy, joyful, whatever. And, you know, in the middle of hard times, sometimes it's hard to allow ourselves to feel joy because we have that story going on in our head that, well, if I'm homeless, I can't be happy. Well, if I'm in the middle of this nasty divorce, I can't be happy. But actually, happiness is more of our natural state of being. And when we allow ourselves to be happy, it can help that bad situation. And I would just love for you to talk a little bit about your experience with those nuggets of happiness and how that worked for you when you were going through some of this really tough stuff.
I think the one thing that I've always had, and even as a child, I have this fetish with the moon. Like, the moon's my best friend. The moon knows more about me than anybody.
Oh,
you know, I talk to the moon all the time. So I'm totally a moon child. And I love to dance and I love to sing. I don't dance well. I don't sing well. But at this point in my life, really, I don't care. Most people are too busy watching the Kardashians or something stupid to even care that I'm out of rhythm. So I like to crank up the tunes. When I'm in a bad mood, playlist girl, throw my playlist on and I just belt it out. And the neighbors might not appreciate me. People in China might not appreciate me, but but my vibration and my body and all of that just, whoo, it comes out and it's great. And, you know, no matter how poor you are, how homeless you are, how destitute you are, you can have access to music.
True.
Everybody has some access to music because we need that vibration. We need the rhythms. We need a way to shut our word highway down. You know, our mind is this really beautiful, fast speed highway of everybody's thoughts and everybody's words. And we get caught up in the head and just throwing on some jams, man. Mm-hmm. That's the bomb.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I love how you said that no matter how destitute you are, because even if you think about some of the like indigenous people tribal dancing, there was no music, but you can clap. Look, I'm making you know, you can do your own rhythm. You can do your own. Yeah.
Yep. And you can go to a Starbucks and you can go to a mall and you can go, there's somebody's playing music somewhere, you know, down here. I'm really fortunate that everybody on the beach plays drums. We'd have drum circles every Sunday. So that's free access to music and vibrational music to the core. We have belly dancers and, you know, it's fun. When I started making a little bit of extra money, I started belly dancing every Thursday night.
I love it.
So it was so much fun, you know. It's a lot harder than people think it is, and yes, it's a great challenge, but yeah, it's fun. It's raising your vibration. Reading poetry, writing. I loved, especially in my hardest times, to write down all of this nasty, negative, dirty, yucky crap that I was going through, and the why me's and why God and why are you doing this to me and all of that stuff, which is perfectly normal to go through. Mm-hmm. Write it down and burn it.
Yes.
You know, let it go as best as you can. And each time you write it down and each time you burn it, you're letting another piece go. And it's incremental. And yes, I think people think it's going to happen overnight and you're going to win the lottery. And it's not. It's very incremental. And when you get good with that, your journey gets a lot easier, because then you can say, okay, it's, I realize and accept that this is probably not going to happen right this second. Mm-hmm. But maybe I'll get a call tomorrow.
Right. I love that. And that the next letter of flaunt is L, and that's for laugh out loud. And I mean, you have been shot, you've been raped, you've been drugged through courts. What role did laughter play? And did you ever have a really hard time accessing laughter? And how did you bring laughter back in, even in the middle of the darkest times?
I am one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. So, you know, that's never been an issue. And I have this really amazing spawn who is extraordinarily funny as well. And when we had hard times, something very obscure would come out of her mouth. And I just kind of look at her like, are you an alien? That right. was really funny. You're 7 years old and you're thinking if zombies can actually be vegan. Okay.
Okay. Right.
Okay. You know, and I think that the only survival that you have is to stay lighthearted and have humor. That is huge, 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 huge. That's bigger than a prescription drug to me. Mm-hmm. I like watching comedies on YouTube. You know, there's always access. You can get a library card and go to the library, plug in your headphones and watch YouTube and just laugh. Mm-hmm. Librarians don't appreciate it, especially when you have a guffaw like mine, but
that's okay.
It's okay. It's good.
Yeah. And also with laughter, there are sometimes the people that you see on the street corners, you know, with the signs asking for money, you know, the different panhandlers. Mm-hmm. I notice as a driver, I get so used to seeing people on the corner with a sign that sometimes I gloss over them and I don't really see them.
Oh, some of them are really funny.
Oh yeah. But like that, you see somebody laughing or with a huge smile and they bring you in and you're just like, oh my gosh. And I feel this spiritual connection with those people and I see their joy. And it just, it shifts things for me as well, because I see that they are in a tough situation and they can still find their joy. And it just makes me more aware of them. And I feel like some of the homelessness problem, some of the problem around homelessness is people become subhuman because we don't see them as human because we quit seeing them. But part of the reason we quit seeing them is because they're so sucked down, their energy is pulled in and then we don't see it. And then it makes it worse for them and it cycles down. And just finding those moments of happiness and joy that I can smile and then I can engage and then it cycles it back up. And I think it's all because of laughter.
I think that when you have absolutely nothing, there's three things that you really look into. And one, you're breathing, thank God, right?
Yes.
Two, you probably smell pretty bad because it's been a couple of days. And three, you got all the time in the world because, well, you can't really work at this point. Nobody really wants a smelly person. Larger than that, every time you try to ask for help, somebody's slapping your hand saying, no, forget it, go not home. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in the day of Scrooge. and there's really not, you know, it's not even, I don't even know if it's sanity. Like, there's nothing more than you and just finding the humor and stuff. You have nothing other than humor at that point. You know what I mean? Like, yes. There's just, what else am I going to do? You know?
Yeah. It can be a beautiful experience, which sounds really funny, but it can be. It's very...
Well, you know, it's one of those moments where, like, last summer, talk about having a humorous soul. Last summer, I went up north to work, like I do every summer. My daughter goes and sees her father, and I kind of stick around close enough just in case. And I supposedly had housing, and when I got up there, I didn't have housing. Mm. And so I'm struggling to find housing and working 70 hours a week at my normal job.
Right.
And I have my two dogs with me. And I turned the corner and my tire blew.
Oh, no.
I'm like, okay. I'm going to deal with this, right? Mm-hmm. The next day, my key fob, when I turned my key,
right,
it broke into my steering column.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy, did I have some words. And then, you know, so I go to the dollar store and I super glue it together and blah, blah, blah. And the next day, something benign, like my battery died. It was just 4 days of stuff like that. And all I could do was just laugh. And my boss looked at me and he's like, are you okay? Do you need medical help? Like,
right.
Yeah, lost it finally.
Right.
And I'm like, no, this is the universe telling me that this is not where I'm supposed to be. I need time for me. I need to take care of my car. I need to fill my tires and have the brain space in order to think about those things, which obviously I haven't done.
Exactly.
And so it's about self-care, and that's what this is all about. And God's got jokes. Mm-hmm. And so we just started giggling, and it is what it is.
Right.
You know, things break, tires blow, pipes burst, mm-hmm. you run out of gas. Some people will help you. Most people won't.
Nope. Most people won't.
And that's the reality of the world that we live in and we've created. Mm-hmm. So you and I get the privilege of shaking that up and trying to change that a little bit, yes, for somebody else. And,
yes,
you know, that's what makes us cool and flaunty and sus.
Exactly. I love that. yeah, I find it interesting. You'll probably relate to this. I have lived in several different worlds. And when I lived in the lawyer world, people did not give money. People did not help homeless. People had more money and they gave far less. And I'm not saying that that's true of all lawyers or all rich people, but it was a very stingy type of a place. And when they would, right, choose to give, it would kind of be a highfalutin way to give. And then moving into the burlesque world, where there were a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds who didn't have much. If anybody in the burlesque world needed something, that was the most generous community. And you would see people.
Yeah, it's a sisterhood. You fight for each other. Yeah.
Absolutely. And if one person has something go wrong, everybody comes together. And it was so interesting thinking, wow, this is the sisterhood, this is the community, but we don't have that globally. And we don't even have that in all socioeconomic levels. And that I found really interesting.
I think that there are three types of people. And I say this very generally because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I do want to make you uncomfortable enough where you think about what your role is in society. Mm-hmm. And there are people who are head buriers. They bury their head in the sand. They absolutely refuse any way, shape, or form to step outside of their little world and try to relate, connect, have compassion, or integrate into another way of being.
Yes.
And then I think there are people like us who are like, whoa, this is wild. What can I do? How can I be proactive? How can I? And we are bridge makers, and there are not many of us. And I hope that each and every time this show airs, there are more people that are willing to pick up a hammer to build a bridge.
Yes.
And I think there are people who are, the third type of person is a person who has to be in control. And they're so in control that stepping over people and hurting other people makes them feel better. And so we have this whirlwind of three different ways of being. And it's a real tough job to build those bridges when you have the control person coming down and breaking off parts, bits and pieces of it. And you have the person who can actually help you burying their head in the sand.
Yeah.
So you and I have a really huge commitment and a job, and the women in the burlesque and the homeless people and people in the projects who actually have built bridges within themselves, they yes. protect that from the other two types of people because they don't want to rebuild that bridge again.
Exactly.
It was a lot of work.
Yes. And you're right, it will be destroyed if they right. don't protect it. Yeah. Right. And that's a tough place to be in.
Which part?
The whole of having the bridge, working together, and realizing you have to protect it. Because I think the people who are the bridge makers know that we want to bring in the whole world. And we know we want to educate and share. But you're right. If you open it up and it gets destroyed, that's really hard. So how do you continue to reach out while at the same time protecting? And that's why I think it's a tough place to be, because you're constantly balancing that.
From my personal perspective, after going through, everything that I've gone through, I'm a bridge maker, but I'm an observer. So I have settled my life in gratitude. I've settled my life in an observation mode. I've settled my life in understanding and being aware that whatever comes out of my mouth is my truth. It's my authenticity. If you want to hear it, that's great. If you don't, that's great. You have access to turning off the camera. You have access to turning off the TV, however we're doing this.
Right.
And largely, I really am in love with farmers. I consider myself a farmer. And what I do is I have a pocket full of seeds. I plant my seeds and I walk away, and somebody else can either water them or not. And it's not my responsibility to water them. I'm just a planter. Everybody on a farm has the role, right? Mm-hmm. Now, then also as a farmer, I have to be aware that with whatever I built, whatever I've grown, I might have to burn down. So when you actually look at farmers, they have to burn part of their field in order to regrow something new, because they need nitrates, they need, phosphates, right. blah, blah, blah. So there's a whole scientific process behind this. And most people don't think about life in those terms, but I think it's the easiest way to articulate the best way to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you're going to build bridges, and yes, you're going to have to rebuild bridges. Storms come through.
Yeah, they
and do. Lightning hits and things get burnt and accidents happen, and you spend your whole life in transformation. You spend your whole yes. life in this chaotic, constantly moving, motion active space. And if you can sit back and observe it, then you go, oh wow, this is a trip, dude. This is trippy. And it makes a lot of sense when you just okay, I'm just going to plant seeds because that's all I can do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have to burn that field. And sometimes I have to rebuild that bridge. And sometimes I just have to take a flamethrower and burn the bridge down and say, see ya, toots, I'm out. You know? Yeah. So like caterpillars going into the cocoon and coming out to be these magnificent creatures that you can't even touch because they're so fragile.
Right.
And so beautiful. And you want to touch them, but you're like, oh my God, I'm going to kill it.
Right.
That's who we are. We are constant transforming, in constant transformation, in a consciousness that's constantly moving. Mm-hmm. It's always chaos. And when you have that perspective and you get really good with that pill after you swallow it, it's like, whoa.
Yes.
It's really not that bad. It's not that big of a deal. I can get through this.
Yeah. And you just so perfectly described that next step of FLAUNT, which is the AU, accept unconditionally. Because yeah. you're right. Once you accept that it's always chaos and that you're always moving and you're always flowing, and it's yeah. then you're out of the fairy tale thinking of my life should look just like this, and it's not. So
Yeah, I had the house, I had the gardens, I had the perfect AKC dog, I had the 2.5 kids, you know. Right. So, yeah. But I wasn't authentic with myself. I wasn't good with myself. And I was actually suffocating who I am as a creator. Yeah. And I'm sure that's how you felt as a lawyer.
Yes.
You know, it's just a suffocation, like your soul was leaking.
Yes.
And you knew that you weren't doing what you were supposed to be doing, whatever that means.
Exactly. Exactly. And then that next step is N, and that's navigate the negative. And like that, you talk about feeling that suffocation, feeling your soul leaking, and then you have to navigate your way out of it. And you have to disrupt the way people think, and you have to disappoint them because they expect something different from you. And you have to go through some challenges in order to be true to yourself.
Well, and I will correct you on my perspective. I don't give a rat's banana what anybody thinks of me anymore.
Good.
You know, I've died 3 times. I literally have lost 2 children. I've gone through hell and back, and I don't care anymore. There's no need for that kind of conversation. If you're really going to sit there and try to fix me, adjust me, and tune me into the machine that you want me to be, girl, go get a clone. You know, I'm a wild, feisty, quirky redhead who likes to dance in the rain. And that's just who I am. I paint and I sing at the top of my lungs. And that's the life for me. Mm-hmm. Not everybody wants to beat to that drum, and you don't have to. I'm not asking you to. And when you say that you're going to disappoint a lot of people, no, take that back. I want you to take it back. And here's why. You're not disappointing people because you're bad or negative. You're challenging people to view how they feel within themselves, because what irritates them about you or what makes them feel uncomfortable about you is something that they haven't learned to accept within themselves.
Yes.
And so it's okay that they have their opinion, and it's okay that they want to tweak you and contort you and twist you and whatever. And then that's cool, but be really authentically good with yourself and say, you know what, girl, I'm fine the way I am.
Yes.
You know, you don't like me. That's cool. But why? I'm curious, because if I make you uncomfortable, then there's stuff you need to work on.
Yes.
And that's the truth.
And I fully believe that that is a gift too. When somebody rejects me,
Yes,
I'm not going to lie. Sometimes it hurts and you go, ouch, that really stinks. But I really think it's a gift, because if you don't like me, we're not going to feed each other's soul. We're not going to make each other into the best version of ourselves. And I will always be trying to conform to you, and you'll always be trying to conform to me. And nobody needs that. I don't have time.
No, girl.
For those kind of relationships in my life.
Well, and that was the very largest, hugest, biggest lesson that I learned when I got a divorce was, here I am. I've encompassed 17 years of my life with this person who was very narcissistic and controlling. And my world, friendship-wise, was determined by who he liked and who he didn't like, who he would allow to come over. You know, so my world was very small. And I thought in that very small world that I was protected and I was genuinely loved and genuinely
cared for.
Yeah. Cared for. Surprise, surprise. People like drama. And the individuals who were in my life that I thought were genuinely part of me ended up doing that. Oh, well, she said this and she's doing that. And you know what I mean? Like that whole thing that people do is bizarre. So I had to cut every single tie in my life. I cut every single person out of my life. Every single person. Snip, snip, bitch. Snip, snip. And from that, I spent a good period, probably 4 or 5 years, before I even dared to have anybody in my life personally and close. And it was very rewarding in the long run, because I'm really, really good with who I am. Mm-hmm. And my little quirky, weird things that I do, it's just who I am. And I spent enough time away from toxic people where I could glow and grow and blossom the way I was always supposed to, without having that smoke suffocating that inner beauty. if that makes sense.
Yes, no, it absolutely does. And that's, again, perfect, because the last step of flaunt is T, trusting in your truth. And I really believe it takes a while sometimes to hone in on what our truth is. But once we know it, we can't dim that light anymore. Because once we've found who we are, that's absolutely how we have to be. And yes, we can get caught up in some negativity or drama sometimes, but coming back to who we are is so important.
Well, don't you find, I mean, even in your case, because you've blossomed in your own truth over the years, don't you find that when that negativity or drama comes, you feel it? You can just, you can like smell it in the air within seconds. You're like, whoop, gotta go.
Yeah.
No need for you. I'm sorry. It's like a polarizing effect, because we've tuned in so well into our own authenticity and our own beauty that the people that we want to be part of that beautiful garden, they come in and our garden gets to be glowy and more beautiful and more amazing. And then every now and then universe throws something really nasty at you and you're like, whoa.
Right. That's not it.
Yeah. No. It was really nice to meet you. Take care. Bye-bye.
And I found before I was as centered in myself as I am, I would still try to engage sometimes with people because I think, well, surely I can bring them around and surely we can find peace together.
That and rescuer.
Yeah, it's like, no. I mean, no. And I like that seed analogy. I can drop some seeds and I can walk away because it's not worth my mental health.
I recently started a short part-time position, and I was there for about 2 weeks. And I had to walk away because the people that were there were so toxic with each other that I literally was sick. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I can't be around this low level energy. Like, this is not, you know, having a part-time job to meet people is one thing. Having a part-time job that's going to give you stomach cancer, completely different story.
Right.
And I truly believe when you hold in that energy and hold in that nastiness in your body, that's where disease comes from.
Yeah.
And I have fought cancer 4 times, and ironically, all 4 times were extremely heavy levels of stress in my life. Mm-hmm. And so my body just manufactured this thing going, you know, Mr. Rogers, watch out. Right. And I'm a firm believer that that's where people get disease from, is from holding on to that stuff, that yucky stuff.
Yeah, I agree. And that was, you know, one of your first tips is have it, let it out. You can have those mini tantrums, but let it out so it doesn't manifest into something in your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And pharmaceuticals, you know, how cool they are. No, I'm just kidding. That was a very sarcastic comment. Mm-hmm. self-care, self-love, and being aware, I think are the 3 challenges that we have to get really good with. You know, I know a lot of people that are marathoners. They work so hard to get to that race, whether they lose or not is irrelevant. It's the work that they put into to just get to the race. And now it's time for everybody that's listening to button up, roll those sleeves up, and get to the race. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel.
Now, the last thing I want to ask you is, you talked about, you know, self-care and self-love. And
yes.
I think self-care, people are starting to get that, but I do think self-love is hard. Do you have any tips that you want to offer on truly loving yourself? Especially when we live in a world that says you need to be size 4 and you need to look this way and your hair needs to be this way and your paycheck needs to be this much and your car needs to look like this.
Well, the first thing I say, and I mean it with all sincerity, and every radio show that I'm on, every TV interview I'm on, my number one go-to remedy is kill your television. Cut your cable. Get rid of the damn TV.
Yes.
It is nothing but poison for your mind, body, and soul.
Yes.
And here's why. You have advertisements that are paid to the cable company so that the ads can be aired for you to watch, the consumer who pays for the cable to watch the ads. Do you really want to watch 800 hours in 1 year of Doritos? No, you don't. What you want to do is fill your mind with stuff that's actually going to brighten your future. Documentaries are fantastic. Nerdy kind of cool stuff like National Geographic Earth. That's really cool. I mean, some of the animals that are in the ocean, it's like bizarro land, right?
Yes. You're
like, holy cow, what's that thing with a thing? Whoa.
Right. Yeah. We
have those. Yeah. Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
So there's really wonderful things that you can do that way to educate your mind. And it also educates your soul, because a lot of the documentaries that are accessible to you now, even on YouTube, which is kind of going on the commercial end, which YouTube needs to tone that down,
right?
Is, you know, are things that explore meditation, explore vibration, explore quantum physics. And yeah, everybody can actually grasp the concept of quantum physics. We are quantum physics when we walk or breathe or whatever. Yeah. So there's all this really yummy, delicious stuff that you can fill your head with. And if you are a theologian and you like religion and you're really, really Christian, there's all kinds of Christian stuff to fill your head with. There's all kinds of stuff about the Torah and the Kabbalah and right. the Quran. So getting good with that is really important. But I also think that creativity, whatever that means to you, like, you know, for me, I like to go belly dancing and I'm into 3D arts. I like to make dragons out of clay. Yeah. And because I live next to the ocean, it's always, you know, pirate themed, you know, I like to make mermaids and things like that. So that's very healing because it's meditative.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the kind of meditation where you're,
right.
but it's meditative in the sense that you're really focused and on what you're trying to do as an outcome. So yeah. having something creative is extremely important, and having a shot ton of humor in your life.
Yes.
The more you laugh, the more your vibration remains higher, and your cells actually turn out to be pretty good. Like they actually clean themselves and get really excited about being a part of your body and your universe.
Yes.
And have great sex. Mm-hmm. Honestly, have the best sex ever and really mean it. Like sex is a huge gateway to a whole different realm of consciousness, and it shouldn't be something that is used as a drug, because some people right. do, or as a weapon. Mm-hmm. But if you have a healthy relationship and partnership, really enjoy that.
Yeah. Sacred sexuality.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your words with us, and just for being vulnerable in, you know, coming to the party of life and being like, yeah, been through a lot and I'm still here and I'm not bitter and resentful and going out and shooting people because of my rage.
Yeah, that's just silly.
Yeah, and I'm learning it. So thank you for holding space for all of that. Where can listeners get in touch with you to learn more about you, your books, your work?
It's really easy. It's rustie.info. That's my website, which is kind of the root system to everything that I do. And I'm really grateful that you allowed me on your show, because it's perfect. It's a perfect fit. I love the flaunting, the sassiness, the glitteriness, the positive outcome that this has. And so I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome. And thank you so much for being here. And again, it's hopefully we're building some bridges, planting some seeds, and I trust the universe that those who needed to hear it heard it, and those who don't didn't.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you, listeners. Reach out to Rusty if you want any more information, or if you're curious about anything. You know where to find me, Laura, L-O-R-A, at lauracheadle.com, or www.lauracheadle.com. So have a fantastic week. Have a really fun time. Laugh. Get creative, let things go, have your mini tantrum if you need to, and then just move on into something else. Have a fantastic week, and as usual, don't forget to flaunt.
Tune in next time to Flaunt. Build your dreams, live your sparkle with radio host Laura Cheadle every Wednesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come release self-judgment, reveal your naked self-worth, and re-choreograph a life filled with joy. Flaunt. Find your fetish, laugh out loud, accept unconditionally, navigate the negative, and trust in your truth. Find out more at lauracheadle.com. That's L-O-R-A-C-H-E-A-D-L-E.com.